everyone. Welcome to a new episode of the Fashion Grunge Pod. I'm Lauren.
Hi, Lauren. I'm Charles.
This is Backtrack number 13, lucky number 13. And this is pretty fitting because we're finally doing Annie Hall.
Yay!
Yay! Because, I mean, we know, like, I know. It sucks, like, but I have to say, in the way that, like, what we know about Woody Allen now, when I first watched this, leading into my first impression, you, Charles, gave me a tape that was a VHS tape that had this on it, and we were, like, 14, maybe?
Yeah, I think we were in our last year at McLean, so, I guess freshman
14?
Year? Yeah.
Yeah, like, 14, 15, so, like, I didn't know any thing about Woody Allen. I think I'd probably heard his name, but I don't think I'd definitely never seen a Woody Allen movie, so I didn't really know what to expect.
Yeah.
So that's how I feel when I watch this movie. And I've not watched the documentary that a lot of people have watched, like Max or HBO or whatever. I wanted to definitely do this first in case I can never talk about it again. But I mean, I still really like this movie. Like,
oh, yeah.
It's great.
It's fun. I mean the thing is, all the stuff they say about Woody Allen, they've been saying for like 30 years and no one really cared. So
yeah,
like, I guess all of a sudden it took for some reason. So
yeah, I guess so. Yeah, because it wasn't like, I guess, new information as far as like I know, but it still fucking sucks and is fucking weird and creepy. But like, I have to say, Diane Keaton, Freudian slip, because she like is Annie Hall. Diane Keaton is like the major part of this film. Like, I feel like Woody Allen is literally just there as like a narration tool, which he kind of is in most movies.
Yeah.
Or at least the early ones that he was in. I don't think he really stars in movies anymore.
I don't think so. I think I think there was a period of time towards the end of his career when he sort of like moved away from New York and like started filming all the stuff in Europe.
Yeah, I think he lives in Paris.
Oh, okay.
I think so, yeah.
And so I think around that time he sort of stopped appearing in movies. Like, and he just, he was just writing and directing.
Okay, yeah.
But, I think last week you described this movie as like a warm, cozy blanket.
Yeah, and it is, because I love it.
It's just such a delightful movie, and it's so much fun, and and Diane Keaton is like both my spiritual and like and stylistic hero.
Like, I mean, I like want to be her. I just love her so much and how she like moves through life. Her style is ridiculous, which is Diane Keaton style.
Yeah,
which is amazing.
I don't know. I'm trying to think. I think I got into this movie. I think around the same time when I was in high school, and there was a section at Blockbuster Video that they just had for like movies that had won Oscars, and so I just started like renting from like that section like exclusively, and it was like before I really started like cared about the Oscars, just because everything I'd rent I'd usually like, and so I like watched this And a lot of the jokes sort of went over my head, but you know, I still just really liked it. And then, sort of at the same time, my mom had a friend who was living in our spare bedroom, and I just sort of started going through his stuff in the basement one day.
I know, that's right. That's so funny.
And I mean, you know, if it's not in the locked box, you know, I consider it to be fair game. So, he had a copy of Annie Hall, and so I just, you know, stole it. And
the tape.
Yeah. The VHS tape. But that practically later came back to bite me. Because I was going through his drawers one day and I found these leather cuffs and chains.
How old was he? Was he like 20s or something?
No, he was like in his 50s.
Oh, he was like your mom's age.
Yeah.
Oh, that's really funny.
So I guess I kind of got what I deserved.
Did you put it back? Like, like watch it and then put the tape back?
Well, no, it wasn't a tape. It was physical, like, chains.
No, I'm talking about Annie Hall. Like, did he ever knew that you took the tape? Like, did you just watch the movie and then go put it back in the box?
Oh no, I just kept it. So.
Oh, you kept it, but he never said anything. Like, where's my Annie Hall movie?
I was like, I mean, I think the fact that it was in a box, I mean, he'd probably forgotten about it. So,
wow, that's so funny. You're like, but anyway, the fucking chains. Like, did he ever bring people back to the house? Probably not. Right?
I don't know. You know, he moved in just as I was sent away to boarding school. So, I wasn't really there that much during the year.
So there's a lot we don't know about this story.
Yeah, yeah.
This sounds like a Lifetime movie.
It was.
Like, it kind of sort of sounds like a Lifetime movie, but then it, like, turns bad somehow.
Yeah, the thing that worked out, because I ended up bringing that like, tape that I stole from him to boarding school, and they, you know, like, all of our stuff was, like, strictly monitored, and there was, mm-hmm. like, no parental advisory CDs, no radar movies, you know, PG-13 movies subject to our approval. But, like, as soon as they saw that I had Annie Hall, no one cared. Like, they're just like, what's this? So,
and I think it's, like, rated PG.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't even think it's rated, like, even, like, PG-13. So they're probably like, oh, some old 70s movie, whatever.
Yeah.
When it literally is not. I mean, a lot of stuff goes over your head. But, yeah, it's just, like, it's just dialogue. It's not actual scenes of anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
that's so funny that you, like, took that and found this, like, leather cuffs and chains. Wow. It takes all kinds.
Yeah, yeah.
That's true. this was released January 1st, 1977. I think it was recorded in 75, though.
Okay.
But it came out in 77, beginning of 77. Obviously directed and written by Woody Allen, but also written by Marshall Brickman, too.
Mm.
So, yeah, I mean, I also really love that, like, I think I mentioned this. We tried to record this episode before, so this was, like, our second time. We didn't, like, actually get into the movie yet, but what I really like about it and the fact that I saw this really early was that it really informed my, like, the comedy that I liked
mm-hmm.
at a young age. Like, I think the fact that I still found this funny and kind of got it, I think is really, that's why I like watching it, because I every time I watch it, I'm just like, it's like a Seinfeld. It's like that New York comedy,
yeah,
that's just very, like, sarcastic and, like, self-deprecating and unsure and, like, insecure but, like, funny mm-hmm. about it.
Yeah.
So that's why I like Seinfeld and, like, Larry David. Like, that's like the kind of comedy that I like, and, like, people just making fun of themselves or whatever. So that is, and, like, Girls is very similar to mm-hmm. another East Coast. It's like East Coast comedy.
Yeah.
It's like East Coast, like New York kind of comedy, like a part of it. So, I'm glad that I saw this early and that this is kind of like, I liked it. You know, I wasn't like, I don't get this, you know, and this is boring. Cause there's certain things I watched when I was younger that I was like, I don't get this. And, like, I just didn't, I'm glad I got into this. Cause that, like, helped.
It's there's some movies that would sort of take a lot of effort to get through. And this just feels such it just takes, like, no effort. It's just, like, holds your attention. Mm-hmm. And, like, even if you don't get, a lot of, like, the Freudian references, you know, or, like, mm-hmm. you know, or, like, obscure comments about, you know, Marshall McLuhan, then, mm-hmm. like, you know, it's like, still fun. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, it's just, I don't know, it's just, like, a good, you know, like, I just got home from work. I need to decompress heavily. I'm going to put on Annie Hall, you know? So.
Yeah, and it also reminds me of, like, Woody Allen is, like, a really good script writer. I feel, like, similar in the vein of Tarantino, where, like, he's so good at, like, writing conversations.
Yeah.
That you can listen to for, like, 6 minutes.
Yeah.
When in most, like, movies that you watch, the dialogue is usually not very long, or it's very, like, it's just propelling the story forward, but it's not just, like, random chit-chat.
Yeah.
Or it's real. Like, it's how... It feels very documentary style, too. Like, his movies, they're very, like, this is his life, and we're just kind of, like, there. It's not, like, a crazy fanciful story.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
At least this one, anyway. I mean, there are some other ones, like, later on. Like, obviously, I think his taste changes. But I haven't seen a ton of Woody Allen movies. Like, I haven't seen Manhattan... I saw Husbands and Wives with you that I really liked. We were in that blizzard.
That's
and
you
were
right.
Like, you've never seen this. Let's watch Husbands and Wives. Is that's the one with, like, him and Mia Farrow essentially, like, breaking up on camera.
Yeah, well, I think that came out roughly around the same time that they broke up and he married Sun Yi.
That movie is crazy. It's really good. There are other people in it that are good too, but there's like this bit in like the last like 20 minutes or something, and it's like they're arguing in the apartment and they're together at this point in real life, but in the story, and it's like one of those like holy shit, the camera's just like rolling,
yeah,
and we're actually watching this like real breakup, which definitely justified, because I would do that.
Well, I've just like always enjoyed his movies, you know, like I think they're just very creative and they just always make me laugh. You know, the one that he did after this is called Interiors, and it's like a drama. Like, there's no comedy in it. I think he was always influenced by like Ingmar Bergman, so it's sort of filmed in that style. There's also Hannah and Her Sisters, which is like a really an amazing
saw
movie.
That one, yeah.
It's like Diane Weiss is like incredible.
He knows how to direct actors really well too. Like,
yes,
it's kind of like you really like to see them saying his words, very much in like a Tarantino or like a Scorsese or like the Coen brothers.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you want that, you want them in that world because you know how they're. And I guess for people, Wes Anderson. But like, you want them in that world because they make such a specific world that you want to know how they're going to act in it.
Yeah.
So it's like when you see different actors in different movies, obviously like Scarlett Johansson is in Woody Allen movies. So it's like interesting to see her kind of like say things in the way that he writes it. Also, I happen to think that Jesse Eisenberg is Woody Allen, like, personified.
Oh, totally.
I mean, and I think he's been in several of his movies. I think he's been in at least two.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe more, but he did one recently that was like, it was Woody Allen, like it was like young guy, and I think he'd like gotten divorced from his wife. I don't know the name of it, but I think it was like a right before COVID like movie, like it was kind of soon. I'm gonna look this up now, but Jesse Eisenberg has the same exact timbre, like in the way he talks, and the way he's like anxious, and he even played Mark Zuckerberg like that. He played him in a very like Woody Allen like rhythm. You know, like really quick talking and kind of mumbles and like speaks faster than his head can kind of process. Mm-hmm. Like, he's just, he's just is like, his brain is moving way faster than his mouth. But let me see, what is that movie called? I think it's called,
there's also a movie that he did called Everyone Says I Love You that has like Goldie Hawn and like, Edward Norton and Drew Barrymore in it. And it's like a musical.
Oh wow.
And it's actually like really funny. But it's weird because there's a scene where like Edward Norton starts to like, you know, like just like go full on, you know, neurotic New Yorker, and it's just like really funny. So
I think it's there's actually a show, it's actually a movie, or movie. There's an article called Can 2022, and it's like Jesse Eisenberg, Woody Allen's forgotten son. I think it's a movie called Cafe Society that has Blake Lively. It also has Kristen Stewart and like Steve Carell. I believe that's the movie
Was he also in a movie with Roman in the title that takes place in Italy?
Rome with Love, I think.
Yeah, because I think I saw that in theater.
Yeah, I think that is that's another one.
Okay.
Yeah, that he's been in. So yeah, he's been in like two for sure. I'm interested in seeing Cafe Society. It's like him and Kristen Stewart, and it's like, it says in the 30s a Bronx native moves to Hollywood and falls in love with a young woman who is seeing a married man.
Ooh.
I mean, they're all kind of like a little autobiographical. But this one is like autobiographical, but in like, I love that, like, his annoying presence, like, moves... Like, he's really annoying. He's really just, like, an annoying guy with all these, like, weird things. You're just like, God, Annie's way too cool for you. Like, that's why you're fucking this up. And I like that you have the real-life ending. You don't have this, like, oh, they're gonna get back together. And, like some movies, I love how, like, she was too cool for you, dude.
Yeah.
She was way too cool for you. You were, like, way too, like, uptight, and she wanted to, like, do her music thing and hang out with Paul Simon in L.A., and you're a wet blanket.
Yeah.
Like, basically, even your friend Max ended up zipping out.
There is a, it's a scene when they, in the beginning, when they first arrived to the theater, And you know, and they're about to buy tickets, and like, Alvy asked if the movie started, and the person behind the desk is like, yeah, it started two minutes ago, and he's like, that's it, I can't go in, and you can just tell that Annie is like so through with this bullshit, like she's like, all right, so what's the problem now, you know, like.
Yeah, she's like, come on, it's only 2 minutes, Alvy. And he's like, no, I can't. I have to see the whole thing. And she's like, we'll just miss the titles. They're in Swedish. And he's like, no, I have to see everything from beginning to end. But I'm anal. And then she's like, yeah, that's a polite word for what you are. Like, she's like, we've already seen it. It's already. And then he's like, why don't we go see The Sorry and the Pity? And she's like, no, we've already seen it. Besides, I'm not in the mood to see like a 4-hour documentary on Nazis. And then like the next scene you see is like, this intro of like the most dry documentary, like something you'd have to watch for like school.
June 1940, the Nazis occupy Paris. All over the country, people were desperate for every available scrap of food.
Yeah, and then you're just like, oh my god, like that. It's called The Sorrow and the Pity. It's like, and you've already seen it once. It's like, oh my god, like this is who he is. It really like shows you, like, this is who he is. Like, he's gonna watch this. It's just, yeah, it's just really crazy. I also love the breaking of the fourth wall, which I don't think I'd ever seen since like Saved by the Bell and Zach Morris. So
yeah,
this is the first time I'd seen it in like a cinematic way, and I really like it.
And it's also interesting because this movie is not like, it's not like a linear story. Like, it sort of takes all these like jumps, and you know like time jumps. It's like not to the point that, you know, like Pulp Fiction is, but it's like a non, it's a very kind of like patchy story, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And the way it's done is like not like confusing at all, you know.
It's like, a really good movie that somebody that like we saw it that young and like still appreciated it for what it was. Mm-hmm. Because it's just like, it seems kind of autobiographical about his relationship with Diane Keaton.
Yeah.
Because they were in a relationship, I think, before this, though. I don't think they were, like, during this movie.
No, I don't think so. I think it was, like, back in, like, the 60s and early 70s that they were together.
Oh, okay. So they were just friends.
Yeah,
and, like, been and stuff. So, I mean, do you have any other first impressions? We can move on to behind the scenes.
Yeah, no, let's do that.
Okay, behind the scenes, what did you get?
Thanks for listening to the Fashion Grunge podcast. To hear the rest of this episode, go check out our Patreon. It's patreon.com/fashiongrunge, and we have 90 episodes up there, including complete series recaps of Freaks and Geeks, My So-Called Life, tons of movies, and just a ton more content, so go check it out. As always, rate, like, subscribe, please give us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and thanks, bye!